Good morning. It is so good to see all of you here this morning. It's always an incredible opportunity to be here to share with family and get into His Word. And I appreciate the opportunities when Elliot gives them to me, or like this weekend he's gone on vacation. I want to keep Elliot and Stephanie in our prayers as they travel and enjoy that time. It's always a blessing for us to be able to give them that time and let them know that we care about them enough that we want them to have opportunity to refresh, refocus, and also be together as a husband and wife and be blessed with memories of that. What a beautiful weekend, right? Tomorrow's going to be even a little bit warmer, I think, and so you can plan some of those things outside, but today is a big day in America. Not because of any faith thing, right? But it's a big day in America. Well, I click forward and it's going, all right, this is not working. So you're going to have to get to my lesson for me here. There we go. Transformed into a champion. I'll just point at you, Tom, okay? That's what we want to talk about today, being transformed into a champion, right? And today is a day of NFL champions, is it not, right? That's a big day for a lot of people. I was watching the news early this morning, and they said on Fox that the pre-NFL Super Bowl stuff will begin at 10 a.m. And I thought, you know what? There are some people who are dumb enough that they're going to start at 10 a.m. and watch the rest of the day, aren't they? And give up the opportunity to be with the Lord, to worship, right? Now, I could spend 4 or 5 hours myself watching the NFL. Maybe even six. I'm not going to start and take time away from God, though. Next one, Tom. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all of you who have loved His or longed for His appearing. Would you pray with me, please? God and Father, we come before You this morning. First of all, Lord, we want to just thank You for the opportunity to lift our hearts and minds in praise to You. For You alone are worthy. Father, we love You. We thank You for the sacrifice of Your Son and Your Spirit that lives within us. Father, help us to strive to let Your light shine in all circumstances. Father, help us to open our hearts and minds this morning as we get into Your Word, that we might grow as children of Yours. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Next one. Super Bowl Sunday, big thing. NFL in my family was actually a pretty big deal. I grew up with 4 brothers, no sisters, my poor mother, right? How many times I heard them say, take it outside, boys. And I remember in 1976 there was a Super Bowl going on, And my whole family was for one team, and I remember the quarterback of the opposite team dropping back, and he threw the most beautiful 53-yard pass, right? And the receiver caught it and ran for a touchdown. I think, that is beautiful. That's incredible. And they're like, shut up, boy. We don't root for that team in this house. Now, being all of 10 years old in 1976, now I realize that tells my age, right? Being all of 10 years old in 1976, yeah, I'm young, Richard. Just want you to know. 1976, at 10 years old, I said, not me! I'm rooting for the other team. And therefore, I rooted for the other team for years and years, and they made some changes and things. I said, I give up on them. So in 95, there was something that happened, and two new teams, next slide. Two new teams came to the NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Carolina Panthers, and I'm going to choose one of those, and I kind of put it off for a while, and, And matter of fact, one of them did really good. I won't tell you which one yet. Did really, really good the first 4 years that they were established as a team. It was a big deal. They went to the playoffs every year. They even won a wild card game at one point. But a few years ago, I got so mad at my favorite team, I'm going to give them up and I'm going to choose a new team. And I decided I'm going to choose one of the new franchises, right? And my mother-in-law always ordered Sports Illustrated for my father-in-law. And she called one year and said, this year we get a free NFL jacket. Do you want it? Well, yeah, I want that jacket. I do. Well, what team do you want? And so I hadn't decided, and I just said off the top of my head which one I wanted, right? And so then we marched forward. Guess who it was? Now, Tom Cotton gets a kick out of this. He loves this. I chose this one right here, who actually were incredible the first 4 or 5 years in the franchise. But that next year, the year I got my jacket, was the worst team in the NFL. I thought, well, it was not a good choice. I don't even own that jacket anymore. I want you to know that. Go ahead, next slide. But as we consider champions, your champions, young people, may not be football, right? Maybe this or the next one. Maybe baseball, next one. Could be softball, next one. Softball. Actually, I think it was girls' basketball team. Did it say on the trophy? Girls' basketball, girls' softball, if you're a young lady. But being a champion actually is something that is important to us as Christians. Next slide. We as Christians have to make the... We skipped one there. Go back one. I'm going to turn this off and on and see if we can get this to work one more time. All right. I'm going to try this a couple of times and see, okay? All right. We've talked about our theme for this year is living transformed, Romans 12, 1 and 2. How to begin to transform ourselves into a champion. A decision to transform, a decision to change, a decision to affect those who are around us as a champion. To be a champion of faith. And when I begin to start thinking about champions of faith, who do I look towards? As I follow in the steps of Christ, what man in the world has the strength to be an example for me? As iron sharpens iron, Proverbs says, one man sharpens another. Who will be that man in my life that begins to sharpen me and make a difference for me? One of those men is the Apostle Paul. He was a champion of faith. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, which we just read, right? Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. And that's who we want to be, right? Those who loved His appearing, who look forward to that, who know that in this life we don't fail. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We've got to learn to fight the good fight, brethren. It's like someone getting into the weight room. Champions don't become champions by doing nothing, right? They get up early in the morning and they work till late at night. There's a young lady who lives in this area who is right now in elementary school competing in gymnastics against high school girls. And she was talking to her mother this last week about how bad those girls treat her in that setting. She gets treated horribly. But it's because she works harder than they do. She's up earlier than they are. She goes to bed late at night. She has to be homeschooled to have that drive, to have that focus, right? It means changing some things in her life. 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 25. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one, Paul says. I am talking like a madman, right? I know y'all think I sound like that when I preach sometimes. Right? Thank you, Steve. Thank you. I tell you what, I'm going to have to visit with y'all about learning when to say amen. It's biblical to say amen, by the way. That's right. Thank you, brother. With far greater labors, with far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I have received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I have been beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea. And Paul is telling us there is work to be done here. Being a Christian is not comfortable. With far greater labors, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. And that I understand because I look out into the lives of young people as I work with the teenagers here, and I see them making mistakes and I see them falling away, and I see parents making mistakes in the choices that they allow them to make. And there are some nights I cannot sleep. I lay my head down on the pillow and I begin praying and I don't fall asleep. And I get up and I walk through the house and I worry about them. And I cry over them. And the anxiety sometimes gets to be so much, I have to go in and wake Janine up. Softly. Janine, I need you to pray with me. With many labors, we need to fight the good fight. We need to learn to finish the race and not give up, not allow the world to affect us in the choices that we make. You know, I was talking this morning in my adult class. That's really the story of Joshua and Judges in a whole, right? Joshua marches into the promised land with his people. They take the land. And then you move into Judges. And a generation rises that has forgotten where they come from. They don't remember the stories. They haven't lived Deuteronomy chapter 6. By sharing the scripture with those generations behind them, reminding them what God has done for them, what He has achieved in their lives, and why they love the Father. And it says He's forgotten that. They've forgotten that as a people. So they disobey, and then there's a penalty to be paid. And then they pray to God, and God sends them someone to redeem them. And so we have stories like Gideon. Philippians 1, 18 and following. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers, and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed. My eager expectation and hope. Do you understand what I'm saying? That you're through your prayers. My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed. But that with full courage now as always. Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And as we look at becoming champions from every day of our life, right? We're talking about just not the efforts that we have, not just the efforts that we put out, but the efforts for each other as a congregation. As I pray for you and you pray for me, I need your prayers. It doesn't matter what role I serve in this congregation, I need to know that my name is being lifted up. And I have to tell you, I was disappointed once upon a time, and for a while, Janine and I would send out cards to families and say, we've chosen your family this month to pray for, which we do still. We try to march through the directory. Pray for your family for a week's time during the year. To know that someone is praying that you will have an eager expectation of hope, that you will not be ashamed of who you are. That you will rise up and bring honor to the body of Christ. To know that whether I live here or I die here, I am doing my best to finish the race that's set before me. We've got to learn to keep the faith as Paul did. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. Do you know that every day in your life, that your choices will lead you to fruitful labor? A champion makes that decision. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. Those around me are going to help me become a champion. I'm not going to walk away from this. It's going to mean, in the end, fruitful labor for who I am in Jesus Christ. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Is more necessary on your account. Can you look around in your life and think of one person that it is necessary for you to be present because of their faith? We need each other like a quarterback needs his team. Matt Ryan's not going to win a Super Bowl today by himself. Too bad if you're a Tom Brady fan, okay? Matt Ryan's not going to win the Super Bowl by himself. But he has a team that is going to work hard and do everything they can to ensure that he achieves the goal that he's set before himself. And brethren, don't you understand that's what we're here for? We, as your family, will do everything that we can do to ensure that you reach the goals that you've set before yourself as a child of the Creator of the universe, the Almighty, the One whose power and might is beyond our understanding. Because He loves us and is at work in our lives daily to bring about good things for us. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress. And this is what I think we forget sometimes. And joy in the faith. Joy. And I think sometimes we come and we sit and we long to be reverent before the Father, right? Do we not? I don't hear any amens.
Amen.
One more time.
Amen.
All right. We long to be reverent before the Father in all that we do, in the way that we do things, and we forget that one of the reasons we're here is to find joy, to smile, and to share laughter and life together, to raise each other up and give to each other strength for the fight that is ahead. so that we can say, I fought the good fight. I'm finishing my race, and I will keep my faith to the end. And this family and this place and this joy that we find together will help me to do that. And I look around sometimes and I think we forget that. I'm going to make one apology this morning right in front of all of you, okay? They don't know this is coming, and I hope I don't embarrass them. Jonathan, Jessica, I think sometimes we have given you so much to do within this congregation that it's not always easy for you to find joy in that. We want you to be joyful. We love you. We love what you do. And we thank you for helping us as a family. And if Elliot and Stephanie were here, I would tell them the same thing this morning. All the hours that are put out that we don't realize, that we don't understand, that we miss. And there are so many of you who are doing things that other people in the congregation don't understand. We want you in this life, in this place, to find joy in who you are as a part of this congregation. In March 26th, we're going to have a talent show. Now, why y'all just laugh at that? I didn't say I was going to sing yet. Why do we do those things as a family? Because it helps us find joy in our faith to know our family can just spend time together for life. We'll be calling you about what you're going to do, by the way. So that in me you may have ample cause in me. So now I'm going to turn that to you. So that in me, in Keith Thompson, I hope that you, as a member of this congregation, can find ample cause to glory, to glory, to glory. We don't even know how to do that, do we? What you doing today? I'm to glorying. I'm going to glory today. In Christ Jesus. Because of my coming to you again. When we come together, when we share this time together, when we get in the Word to be reminded that we are expected to be holy as He is holy, to stand above, to rise above the world that is around us, to stand and say, I am more than a conqueror through His love. I can do all things through His love. We need that opportunity when we come together to say, today I won a victory in Jesus Christ. And share those moments together. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Hey, do you hear me? Examine yourself. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ, man, if we had a talkative congregation, I already had two amens on that. That Jesus Christ is in you. Thank you. That Jesus Christ is in you. I think I need to say it one more time. That Jesus Christ is in you. Now that's incredible. To find joy in that. to say that I belong to Him. And it doesn't matter what's going on the outside of those doors until I'm there. And then I'm only there to share the joy of Jesus Christ, to let His light shine, to let them know that together as a family, that our love for one another begins to change the community of Sand Springs. Amen?
Amen.
Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. And when you do fail to meet the test, we will be here for you to pick you up and to brush you off and set you right again. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory. This is the victory. This is the victory. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. I don't think we get it. Do we get it?
Amen.
I hope so. This is the victory that has overcome the world, my faith, our faith. Together, you and I, our faith overcomes the world. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter who the local district attorney is, who our tax assessor is, who our county commissioners are, who our city mayor is. It doesn't matter. Because this is the victory in the world that surrounds us, because we believe in the risen Savior. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Every day, lift your weights. Grab hold, and they're right, Benton. Grab them weights every day. Get them over your head. Lift it up and say, Jesus is my victory in life today. And if I don't have Him, I'm going to fail the test. If I don't have Him, I fall short. If I'm not sharing Him with my children or my grandchildren or my neighbors or the business people that I work with, I have failed the test. I haven't become what I need to be. I am losing the battle. And I am not going to be the champion that God calls me to be. But I must every day put my mind to the task. Every day be focused on the victory that lies ahead of me. For I am a champion of the living Savior who rose from the grave for me.
Amen.
Thank you. So your choice today is become a champion and be able to look at other Christians face to face, eye to eye, and say, I have fought the good fight. My prayer is on the day that I die that I can walk up to these two young men right here and whatever grandchildren they bless me with, right? And say, sons, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. And my goal for you is to do the same, so that when your lives come to an end, you and I can be together.
Amen.
That's my goal for your lives and mine. And we need to tell our children that. We need to set the example of the joy of knowing Christ, that this is our goal.
Amen.
This is who we are individually and as a group of people who belong to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That this group right here, minus a few of you who weren't at the last picnic, right? That this group right here be looked at by those who are searching for Christ and say, that is a group of champions. Because they fought the good fight. They have finished the race and they are keeping the faith of Jesus Christ, our Savior. What else can we do for each other and for our families? If we can help you set your life right this morning by being united with Christ in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection, to be raised to walk the life of a champion, we want to help you do that. If you have fallen short of the test, we want to help you win again, to know what it's like to be a conqueror in His name. Why don't you come as we stand and sing?
Would you live for Jesus and be always good and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have His name on your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and to have